Search Committee on Education. With us, Senator Wilkins, Senator Davis, Senator Olson, myself, Stevens, good morning, and Senator Hearns will be joining us in a minute. We're going to be hearing, for the first time, Senate Bill Number 1, and the intention is to hold this over and have a further complete discussion of it, and give everyone an opportunity to speak to it if they would like to. Senator Wilkins.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, and members of the committee.
Morning.
Thanks for hearing Senate Bill 1. My name is Gary Wilkins, and I have the honor of representing District E in the State Senate. And thanks for hearing SB 1. And I'd like to read, pardon me, for the record, I'd like to read the sponsor statement in. But before I do that, your packets, you should see the bill. It's a very efficient bill. Just a few words, a couple of lines. And so it always takes the award for the most efficient use of state paper to spend the most money. So you have the bill itself, a single page. You have a sponsor statement, which we'll read in. Morning, Senator Huggins.
Morning.
A fact sheet, and then a pencil chart. So that's what you have. So with that, and there's a few other things that we may throw in as we walk through this, but let me read in the sponsor statement.
Thank you, Senator Wilkins. Just one second. I introduce, as I told you, Senator Huggins will be here momentarily, and also to remind you that we have to leave by 9 because Senate Finance will be doing the foundation formula overview that many of you will probably be interested in as well. Senator Wilkins.
Okay. Since 1998, the K-12 public school funding formula has distributed state education dollars based on a per-student allocation. Senate Bill 1 increases this allocation by $430, establishing the per-student dollar at $5,810. Senate Bill 1 recognizes that day-to-day educational costs continue to increase, causing a financial strain on the school budgets in all of our 53 school districts. This 8% proposed increase in the student dollar will help mitigate these rising costs, thus allowing local school boards to direct more education dollars into the classroom. This legislation does not address the major cost increase facing each school district this year, the substantial rise in the required retirement contribution for each employee in every district totals over $200 million statewide. The per student dollar amount would need to grow $1,000 just to cover this year's increase. This financial burden must be addressed by the legislature and in a manner acceptable to both our school districts as well as our state of Alaska. An alternative bill will address this solution. Senate Bill 1 covers an estimated inflation rate given to us by the Department of Labor in November of 2006, and then provides additional funds to help school districts reduce class size. Please join me in support of Alaska's public school system and give your approval to Senate Bill 1. People have asked why I came up with the $90 million, the fiscal note is close to that $89 million. The 4% represented, back in November, represented a $45 million increase, and then I added another $45 million for the fixed costs and to drive down class sizes and perhaps even some tax relief as a function of school boards and local governments. So that's where the $89 million comes from. Let's see. If you turn to the pencil chart, it helps a little bit just to put this increase in perspective. I think all of us that were here back in the early start of this decade, back in 2000-2001, where we quibbled over tens and 20s and $30 increases in the student dollar, it's been a bit rewarding and to see since FY04 the increases. And I don't have it on your chart, but I'll just, if you want to, just take your pencil and pencil in FY04. FY04 was a 3.9% increase over FY03. FY05 was a 9.7% increase over FY04. FY06 was a 7.4% increase over FY05. FY07, the current budget, was a 9.4% increase over FY06, and this increase is a contemplated in SB1 a 7.9% increase. So it seems like a lot, and it is a lot. It's $90 million, $89 million. But it falls within the realm of what we have done over the last 4 years for K-12. So it's not out of bounds by any means. And we all campaign and in this building support K-12. And we've come up with increases when we didn't have any money. And I'd remind the committee that we have $1.3 billion. And what better place, given the priorities of the Alaskan public safety, public health, education, and resource development, to put some of our surplus then into our schools, into our classrooms for the future. So with that, Mr. Chairman, that's my presentation, and I appreciate the time, and I'm available for questions, and look forward to working on Senate Bill 1 as it marches through. I know this number will be footballed around this building for a while. The governor has issued a request, a plea to do early funding of education, and we always talk about that, and for whatever reason it seems to get mired down. But I too would echo her requests that we do this, football the number around, and decide what it's going to be. Move it out, be done with it, so that our local school boards, mine included, can do a budget based on real money and not on phantom money. So with that, thanks again for the time. I'll help where I can.
Well, thank you, Senator Wilkin. So the half of the increase is tell me, it's 4% cost of living increase. Is that what you're basing this on? And the other half is additional funds to... would you explain what the other half is for again?
The other half would be on top of inflation, and I have some numbers here refined this week. FY06, first half FY06, in Anchorage, the cost of living increased 4.2%. We now in the middle of February have some refined numbers. The second half was about 3%. So the Department of Labor, Dan Robinson over Department of Labor, is now estimating that should be about 3.2%. But given that, back in November when we added numbers to the bill, we used the 4%, which was $45 million. And knowing that this number is a number that's negotiated and moves around, I just doubled that. It's a stab, but it certainly reflects the needs for increased energy costs, increased the cry for increased teacher availability to drive down PTR, and to some extent what we can give here, certainly for organized Alaska, what we can give here then could supplant, depending on the efforts of the local school boards, could indeed then not require the local people through their assemblies to give up more of their tax dollar. And it could come from the state rather than from the local tax base. So it's smaller classes, and it's tax relief. And that was the motivation to add, to recognize that it's more than just the buying power. We continue to ask our schools, as we all talk about, but it's true, we continue to ask our schools to do more and to be held more accountable. And certainly certainly the record over the last 4 years we should be proud of, but at the same time it's not a time to stop. This is the renewal year of NCLB. That may or may not burden us with additional tasks, but if it does, we should be ready with additional monies for the school districts.
Well, thank you, Senator Wilkin. And how do you always get SB1? How does that work?
If I told you, then next year it would be SB2.
Yeah, you got that right.
Thank you, Senator. Welcome for doing this. Questions? Sure. Anybody have any questions at this point?
Let's take this.
Yes, Senator Hagan.
Thank you for Senator Wilkin. Would the target date for early funding? What date you working on?
Well, how soon can we get a bill through? But March 15th. You know, we've talked about 60 days. You know, and for years there, you know, we used to talk about early funding, forward funding. And so we finally got to the point where, by God, we could almost do it. And then folks got a little nervous about it, thinking that we could hold out to the end and whatever mechanisms, and that seems to work on occasion, but that balances the need for a few more dollars against the need to have it early. So it's a matter of folks putting their heads together and saying, this is what we're going to do, this is the best we're going to do, and we're not going to talk about it in the remaining 60 days. Let's get rid of it in the first 60. So, but 60 days, I mean, it's pretty simple.
Yeah. Thank you, Mr. Chair. The other part is, as I recall, the NSTAR bills are going up by 30%. Is that calculated in your per student increase when you look at the sunk cost for the capital base?
It would certainly be part of the of protecting the buying power of the dollar through the inflation factor, and then the additional monies would certainly be for increased energy costs or any other unexpected costs that would come upon them. But it would be embedded in there, and I think probably Mr. Jeans is here. He could perhaps give you a little comfort on the meaning of that number.
Thank you for the comment. Yes, Senator Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Senator Wilkin, the number that you've chosen at 4%, at least some of the feedback I've been getting from the school boards, members especially, it doesn't really keep track with what's going on. I was wondering why you didn't go up with a higher number.
Well, you have to start somewhere, and I think while I would never be one to vote for nor encourage us to inflation-proof hardly anything, including the foundation formula, I think that it's a place that it's the first yardstick you use. You ought to be able to buy today what you could buy last year, and so that's a place to start. And then the variable is what you add to that. And I'm the first to admit that I took $45 million and added another $45 million. It's arbitrary at best. Could have been 30, could have been 60, but it's a number, as we all know. It's a negotiated number. It seems generous, but indeed it falls in line with what we've done the last 4 years.
Seems to be a little late. One last question, Mr. Chairman, if I could. Is the administration with the view that the governor wants to go ahead and cut a fair amount out of the total budget, $150-$200 million out of it, is the administration in favor of this bill? Or this increase?
My discussions with the administration, not only on this budget, but on others, is that you have to start somewhere. The governor obviously will speak for herself, but I think that to fully fund the foundation formula and keep the $24 million that we put in at the end of last year, frankly, I think that's a little light. I've told the administration that. And I've had no one in the administration say, well, that's just where it's going to be. This whole budget is a work in process for a new governor. And this is the process starting here today that starts to talk about what we all, or at least 21, 11 of us and a governor will decide will be the number for K-12. So I don't think we're at battle at all. I think we're at the table hand in hand to try to come up with a number that satisfies our school districts and continues to fund them but hold them accountable for their product.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Senator Olson. Senator Huggins.
Yeah, just by way of comment, and I thank Senator Wilkins for doing this. I guess my concern, and hopefully here, that in the past couple of years we made substantial increases. Just to read it, during the process from multiple school districts, those guys can't really figure out what they're doing because that doesn't come anywhere near the mark of our requirements. And that was over 3 years, $300 million, as you know. And I just hope that we're somewhere in the shot group of being able to satisfy the needs of most needy school districts with this.
Thank you, Senator Harnes. Senator Wilkin.
Can I add one thing? I'm sorry, I meant to talk about it when I talked about the pencil chart. I think it's important, and you can draw your own conclusions, but I think it's important to look at the red balls on the chart. It's surprising that today we're educating, this year we're, Eddie will tell you, but we're at about 129.7. So we've fallen below 130,000 students. So we're educating, by the numbers I have, 3,000 students less today than we were in 1999. So you would expect, intuitively you'd say, well, if The funding is going up at a slope of 40%. You'd think the students are, but the funding's gone up 44%, and the slope of the students is flat. So you can argue that different ways, but I think that the suggestion that we have been, this legislature for the last 10 years has been generous, given that we're not educating, and indeed we're educating less students than we were 10 years ago, is something just to file away in the back of your head. That we have held this priority of people of Alaska as one that deserves generous funding, and I think the record reflects that, given the dollars versus the students.
Thank you, Senator. Well, would you mention those figures again of the numbers of students?
We rounded them off for the chart. You can see it's 133,000, and we're at 130. Actually, this year, I think Eddie will say we're at 129.9 or 129.7. I think he'll tell you this is the first year we've been under 130,000 actual students.
Thank you, Senator Wilk. And I also appreciate in your sponsor statement the comments on the retirement contribution that it would take an additional $1,000 just to cover this year's increase. That's a shocker.
Pretty amazing.
Thank you. Any further comments or questions at this point? We have several people that would like to speak to us. Invite them to come forward, please. We'll begin with John Alcantara. Mr. Alcantara.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, Senators. For the record, my name is John Alcantara. I live in Palmer, and I serve as the Government Relations Director for the 13,000 public school employees that make up National Education Association of Alaska. I'd like to thank you for hearing this bill today, and I'd like to thank Senator Wilkin for his continued advocacy for education, really kindergarten through university. I've been with NEA Alaska 5 years, and it's always a pleasure to work with Senator Wilkin, and he's definitely trying to move the number for the base student allocation certainly in the right direction. We've spent the first few weeks of session going around and meeting with lawmakers and handing out this booklet that we mailed to all 60 lawmakers before session began. I know we've met with all senators that sit on the Senate Education Committee. Our number, our base student allocation number, is actually $59.53, which is $143 in addition to Senator Wilkin's first shot at Senate Bill 1. I know I've reported in our legislative update that Senate Bill 1 was about an $86 million increase, and now that I've actually seen the fiscal note, I'll have to correct that because it's almost an $89 million increase. The rule of thumb is every $5 in the base adds about $1 million. It doesn't work out quite that clean, obviously. So when I did the $430, came up with my $86 million increase, it was just going off of that basic math. But we've been looking, and our key thing in this document is adequate funding and early funding. And there's a reason adequate funding's on top, because we believe that adequate funding is more important than getting a dollar amount set early. And the reality is we have a system in place to try to get us to adequacy within 7 more fiscal years. You guys in the legislature, the ones sitting in this room, have done a tremendous job over the last 5 fiscal years increasing K-12 education, probably not to the level that our members would have liked to see, but certainly substantial increases that have gone on. Unfortunately, most of that money, or chunks of that money, have gone to meet Burster's obligations and inflationary costs. And some new money has actually made it to districts and made it to classrooms and salaries and other things. So I do think this Senate Bill 1 is certainly a move in a positive direction. I would ask that, you know, entertain and consider an increase to $59.53. It's real. It's 7 years to get to adequacy. We estimate adequacy now is about $400 million short of an adequate K-12 budget. And we realize we're not going to get $400 million in a year. When you extrapolate out inflation for 7 years, the target's anywhere between $400 million and $600 million. That was based on kind of a voluntary study done about 3 years ago by the Citizens for the Educational Advancement of Alaska's Children. NEA Alaska and other groups. About 32 of the 53 districts participated, so there's holes in that data, obviously, and you don't have districts, and they weren't mandated to participate in what the costs are. So I do think that that the state of Alaska is a little ways away from adequacy. As a lifelong Alaskan that attended Alaska schools, I see differences in what my own children go through at public schools in Palmer. And I think our number is 5953. I'd ask you, as you consider this process, to consider that number. Take a look at the books that we've distributed. See why we're asking for a $573 increase instead of a $430 increase. But to not be accused of looking a gift horse in the mouth, this is a great bill. It certainly is much better than the first bill on the other side of this building, and I certainly appreciate the work that Senator Wilken has done, not just on this one-page piece of legislation, but all the work that he's done in his career here to help K-12 and all of you. So prepare to answer questions if you have any.
Well, thank you, Mr. Alcantara. Of course, we would never accuse you of looking a gift horse in the mouth. Never do that. I'm sorry, Senator Thomas, I didn't see you sitting back there. We'd love to have you come up here and join us and ask any questions if you would care to. If you wait just a second, John, we'll see.
Oh.
We've got plenty of room up here.
More room up there than here.
And if you have any questions at all, please let me know. Any questions, Mr. Alcantara? Yes, Senator Hires.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. John, I've always told you, and I think I've lived the life of number one priority in this building and prior to arriving here was education as far as getting things done for our state. My assumption, as Senator Wilkins said, that this is a work in progress, that the administration will come along. My question for you is, have your efforts been doubled to bring the administration along in support of this?
Through the chair, Senator Huggins, we certainly have talked with the administration. I mean, I know that their first stab at education funding and is not what we'd like to see. I mean, we're trying to eradicate the terminology of fully funding education, because that fully funding education at the same base as a previous year. We've been fighting that fight for at least three administrations, so about 13 years, to try to get rid of that term of fully funding. We're going to work with the administration, try to make them understand that the needs of K-12 and inflationary costs, be they 3.2% or 4% this last year, are going to eat away schools' abilities to provide services. And that one of the graphs in our book shows that for 20 years, 83 to 2002, it was a fully funded, flat funded kind of education scenario, and that caused the student dollar to go down dramatically. When adjusted for inflation, it went down about $2,600 over a 20-year span. And so we're working with the administration, try to make them realize that while we appreciate the efforts on TERS and PERS, that you can't give schools the same base student allocation level as last year. And I'll point out, as Senator Wilken pointed out, and Mr. Jeans will, if he's brought up here, that I think it's around 23 or 2,400 less students this year. So right there, you crank that through the formula, times it by your 5380, and you'll come up with a number in the millions of less dollars that districts will receive if the number stays where it's at. So we'll continue to work with the administration. We look forward to it. And as Senator Wilkins said, it's a work in progress, and we're sitting here on day 24 or 5 of the session.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Huggins, any further questions? Thank you very much, Sean.
Thank you, Senator.
Let's move on to Stephanie Allison. If you're here, Stephanie, thank you for being with us. And if you would identify yourself for the record, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My name is Stephanie Allison. I'm a Juneau resident. I'm also a member of the Citizen Coalition Great Alaska Schools, which you would recognize because it's the new name for Alaska Kids Count. I am a member of the Glacier Valley Site Council here in Juneau, and as a member of that site council, I sit on the Juneau School District's Budget Advisory Group. I'm also a CPA. As a member of the Budget Advisory Group, we've been asked to come up with $3 million in cuts, which is where the budget for Juneau sits with the proposed BSA from the governor, and with the area cost differential remaining the same at the 25% increase. I ran the new BSA to see where it would hold Juno, and in my calculation, it holds Juno harmless with the new BSA. So we wouldn't have to come up with a $3 million in cuts. Juno School District has really made a great effort on reducing class sizes, and from my review of the budget and the audit from the Juno School District, I can't see any other area that could take major, that we could take major cuts from other than the classroom. There's some little things that the group has come up with, but nothing significant to find $3 million in cuts. I really appreciate Senator Wilkins' proposal, because I don't want to have to make these classes bigger. We've really made an effort to concentrate on the classrooms.
Thank you, Ms. Allison.
Thank
Any
you.
Questions? Thank you very much for being here. Michael Sigler. Mr. Sigler.
Good morning. My name is Michael Sigler. I'm a parent of two school-age children in Juneau. And I'm here on behalf of Great Alaska Schools. As Stephanie mentioned, that's the new name for Alaska Kids Count because of a trademark name conflict. So we decided to get on the right side of the law on that. Great Alaska Schools is Citizens Coalition, a nonpartisan statewide coalition of parents and community members concerned about the quality of public education and committed to making a positive contribution to Alaska schools. We were founded in 2004 as Alaska Kids Count with members from across the state because of proposed massive budget cuts to education. Gratefully, as Senator Wilkin has pointed out, education increases have been made a priority for the legislature. However, schools continue to face challenges as most of the past funding increases have gone to fully cover retirement costs and have and to some extent covered inflation costs, but haven't done much to make up for past lapses in to meet needs for education quality. The very essence and intent of the public school system is the right to a free, high quality, and comprehensive education for all children. Specifically, what Great Alaska Schools is asking for is a fiscal plan for education, which includes inflation proofing, and second, updated geographic cost differentials with holding all districts harmless. We think this will create the stability that the schools need to go forward and provide children with a good education. Finally, citizens working for educational quality and staying informed of legislative activity and in contact with their legislators can help to improve our schools, as you're doing here today. Together, we can improve the quality of education for all Alaska children. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Sigler. Appreciate it. Any questions? Yes, Senator Huggins.
Yeah, thank you. Sorry, and thank you for your efforts. I guess as I look at this, concerned about quality public school education, and in this case, we can fund, and we did some of the achievement testing models and benchmark tests and the exit exam. I guess my question for you is, the Citizen Coalition, could you give us an idea of some of the efforts you're making beyond funding to have an impact on student performance and achievement?
Right. Most of the people who are involved are active in the schools as volunteers, enter the classroom, work with kids, work actively within the community to provide other activities for kids to keep them interested in schools and being involved in the community, parent coaches, choir, sports, whatnot. I think most people are recognize that a major problem is the dropout rate. Some people are involved in the mentoring kids in school that are at risk of dropping out. I think these are three examples of ways that the parents that are involved try to help the schools, as they should, not just with dollars, but with their own involvement in the schools and the community.
Yeah, very good. And follow
yes,
up on my
Senator.
Yeah, thank you. As I recall, Juneau School District is about one-third the size of Madison. Is that about right, Mr. James? But one of the phenomena that we discovered in looking through statistics is that special needs students here are about equal to MATSU. And does that create any special challenges that you've noticed as parents as we work through the model?
Well, I think and the Constitution says that all children must be educated, and the legislature will provide the ability for the schools to do that. And special needs kids have special challenges, and they typically have to have more adults with them than mainstream kids. That's a challenge because what it does is it reduces, you're trying to meet needs of both groups of people. It's a zero-sum game. By meeting the needs of the special needs children, you can, in a fixed budget, take away from the mainstream kids. And an effect is larger classroom sizes for the majority, 90% of the other kids. That's the outcome.
Okay, so as a coalition member, are you satisfied that the effort and the assets that are going towards, in this case, the special needs children are working?
I think this is pretty specific, but the aides are underpaid and there's a lot of turnover and the special needs kids' needs aren't met because of that directly, and it's outcome, again, of the reduced amount, the inadequate amount of money for education. And secondarily, it affects mainstream kids, typically the kids in the middle, because they're not on the high end that gets some help, and they're stuck in the middle in 30-plus classroom size, in rooms of 30-plus kids.
Right.
Those are the ones that are harmed.
Yeah, very good.
Yes, please, Senator Harkins.
And the final thing is, I know the school district, one of them that I work with, MATSU School District, has a 44% dropout rate. And sometimes parents have unique perspectives on why that is and what we should do about it. Any thoughts on dropout rates as they apply to Matt or to here in Juneau? And are you aware of what it might be?
Around 33-35% in Juneau.
Yeah, I'm assuming it's over 40. But it's over 40 probably. But
yeah.
Anyway,
it's way more than it should be.
Right.
I mean, I went to school that it had 5%, and then you were surprised.
Right.
I think one challenge in Juneau is two things. Some of the kids that drop out is because parents don't take care of their kids well enough. You know, those kids, they aren't served by their parents, you know. The second thing, I think, is that we think, this is my own personal opinion, we're on an academic model that kids are going to go to college. I don't think there's adequate attention paid to vocational education. In other words,
I think everybody needs to hear that.
You know, all schools should meet the needs of all the children. That's why you have special needs. That's why you have an academic model for kids going to college. That's why you should have a strong vocational education program, whether it's computers or boat building or diesel mechanics, so that every kid has a skill and something that motivates them to stay in school. I think that's what's needed. That's the broadening of that base is needed.
Thank you very much, and we appreciate your service as a parent.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Mr. Siegler. Appreciate it. Before we go to Mr. Jeans, we have a couple people in Fairbanks. I'd like to catch them first, then we'll have some good quality time to squeeze all the truth out of Mr. Jeans. Let's go to Mike Fisher in Fairbanks. Are you with us, Mike?
Yes, I am.
Please identify yourself.
Yes, good morning. Mike Fisher, Chief Financial Officer for the Fairbanks North Star Borough School District. Senator Stevens and members of the Education Committee, thank you for this opportunity to speak in support of SB1, which provides much-needed support for K-12 education throughout the state. While we are very encouraged and appreciative of the governor's and the legislature's recognition and efforts to fund the increase in TERS and PERS, we ask you not to lose sight of the other budget pressures facing districts across the state. On paper, everything else pales in comparison to the TERS-PERS issue, but it's the lack of paper and textbooks and tutor support and other basic needs that are felt the most in the classroom, and that is where this funding will be most beneficial and why it needs your support. Make no mistake, excellent teachers make the most difference in a child's education, so salary and retirement funding goes directly into the classroom. But from a child's or a parent's classroom perspective, it's the lack of crayons or turtle food that may be most noticeable. District heating, electricity, and insurance cost increases are something parents should not have to concern themselves with, and rightly so, but they are necessary and unavoidable. So to stay within a status quo level of funding, Fairbanks, like most districts, is facing tremendous cuts in programs, even if TERS and PERS increases are funded. So on behalf of school districts, and hungry turtles across the state. We appreciate your support and your efforts to provide additional funding above and beyond the TERS and PERS dilemma. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Fisher. Any questions? Appreciate your comments. Sue Hall, also in Fairbanks. Ms. Hall?
Yes, I'm here. I'm Sue Hall. I'm a school board member here in Fairbanks, and I'd like to amplify what Mike has just said about the importance of the increases that we face in avoiding cuts to maintenance of programs that already exist. But in contrast, I'd like to also remind the committee about the importance of things that challenges that school boards face in reaching beyond just maintaining what we already have. The kinds of investments we'd like to make in technology and career technical preparation for kids, and doing the sorts of things that we know students will need to be prepared for the next future that they will face, is going to take dollars in addition to those that maintain current programs. So while it's important to avoid cuts, it's also important to look at the kinds of investments that we need to make as a state to preserve the preparation of our students so that they will be ready for the challenges that they're going to face once they get out of our system. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ms. Hall. Any questions? Senator Wilkin.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd just like to thank Mike and Sue for coming out this morning, and I know what you're all thinking, so I'll just put it on the record. I didn't ask them to show up this morning. They got up this morning and came out at 8 o'clock on their own, and thank you for doing that.
We never suspected anything like that.
I'm clean on this one.
You did it. Thank you, Senator Wilkin, and thank you again, Mike and Sue. All right, let's get right to Mr. Jeans. Tell us everything he knows in 20 minutes. I think you can do that. No, maybe not. That's a lot to ask. But if you'd identify yourself for the record, please, Mr. Jeans.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, my name's Eddie Jeans. I'm the Director of School Finance for the Alaska Department of Education and Early Development. I will be sharing everything I know, but it's at the next meeting that I hope you attend. So, Mr. Chairman, the Department of Education has prepared two fiscal notes in response to Senate Bill 1. The first one is a $88,928,200 fiscal note for the increase in the base student allocation for the foundation program. I think Senator Wilkin gave you an excellent overview of what this piece of legislation will do. I would like to mention, though, Senator Wilkin suggested there may be some opportunity for some tax relief at a local level. I'd like to tell you about the other side of that coin. By increasing the base student allocation, you actually increase local government's ability to contribute additional local dollars to education. And based on the proposal before us, on a statewide basis, Mr. Chairman, that would allow up to an additional $20 million of local support at the discretion of those local governments. So I think that's a good thing as well.
A total of $20 million statewide?
Approximately $20 million statewide.
Thank you, sir.
The second fiscal note that we have is for the Alaska Military Challenge Youth Academy. Their funding is tied directly to the base student allocation in the foundation statute. And so you have a fiscal note here for $825,000 for the Military Youth Academy. And I think you all know what that program's about and where it's located. So with that, Mr. Chairman, I'd be happy to answer any questions you or the committee members may have.
Thank you, Mr. Jeans. Questions? Senator Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Jeans, remind me how you got to the $20 million statewide number again.
Through the chair, Senator Olson, districts are allowed to contribute the equivalent of 23% of their basic need over and above the required local effort in the foundation program. And so just in rough numbers, this is a little under a $100 million increase. So it would be in the range of $20 million that they would be allowed to contribute.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
$20 million in addition to what they now contribute.
Mr. Chairman, that's correct. It increases the cap. Not that everybody's at the cap, but it increases the cap. So those that wish to contribute would have the ability to.
Thank you. Senator Wilkin.
Thank you, and I appreciate Eddie bringing that up. But in the formula itself, in the 08 formula itself, we're requiring Organized Alaska to contribute 16.18 million more just to qualify for state aid. So embedded in the formula is that requirement that the taxpayers of Alaska, local taxpayers that contribute to their education, are going to pony up $16.1 million more. And what Eddie's saying is there's also the ability to add another $20 million to that should boroughs and cities decide to do that. So,
right.
So it's not like they're getting off scot-free. We're tapping their pockets, just implicit in the formula itself.
So a pretty substantial increase adding those together then. Okay. Thank you. Further questions to Mr. Jeans?
Maybe I could just add one sentence to that.
Yes.
This year we're asking Organized Alaska to contribute $205.2 million before they get a nickel of state aid. So just a number to file away. We've broken the $200 million amount.
Thank you. Senator Huggins?
Yeah. Thank you, Ms. Sheens. Tax caps. I know Mat-Su Borough has a tax cap, but I'm not sure about the other organized boroughs. Do you know which boroughs have organized tax caps, which ones do not?
Through the chair, Senator Huggins, I really don't know which ones have the tax caps. I'm familiar with the Mat-Su Borough. I understand that Anchorage has a tax cap as well, but I couldn't tell you which other ones do.
Okay.
And those, as you know, are locally imposed.
Yeah. And if I might, Mr. Chair, you know, one of the things that I really enjoy about Mr. Jeans is, number one, he's quick on his feet, and number two, he's pretty accurate. And I just say thank you publicly for what you do.
Thank you.
For our school business.
Thank you. Mr. Jeans, any comments that you would have on the declining student count? A very important issue. Do you see projections in the future of additional declines? What are you planning for in the long term in the department?
Mr. Chairman, we actually don't do long-term student projections. The projections are provided to us by the school districts on an annual basis, and that's what we use to build our budget to come before the legislature. I think if you talk to the state demographer, he could give you some long-term projections, and it's my understanding that our population in our state is an aging population. So without committing myself, I would anticipate that we're going to
be very careful. You have an aging Senate up here, so be very careful.
Mr. Chairman, you also have an aging school finance manager, director. So, but I think it's a good issue to point out. The student population has been declining, as Senator Wilkin pointed out. We did drop down to right below 130,000 this year, which was not anticipated. Our budget was built on closer to 132,000 students. So. Next year's budget is built on approximately 130,000 students, so we're seeing the decline across the state.
Right, right. Thank you. Further questions? Yes, Senator Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Jeans, can you just kind of give me a rough idea as to whether this drop in student population has been mostly in the rural area or been out in the urban area?
Through the chair, Senator Olson, I really hate doing the urban-rural broad brush because sure. We have areas in rural Alaska that actually have increasing student population, mm-hmm. but we also have many of them that have declining student population. And then we have areas such as the Mat-Su Borough that clearly is showing growth. Kenai Borough is on the other end. They're mm-hmm. declining. So it's a mixture across the state.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Further questions?
Mr. Chair, if I just make a comment, you mentioned the growth in Mat-Su. You know, we have a very aggressive tourism and public relations program. And I think a lot of people want to be neighbors with Senator Green and myself, and they're pouring into Mat-Su.
Thank you. I'm not sure how to get to this question, but a concern, of course, as we see higher dropouts throughout our state. I think the figure is pretty enormous compared to other states. We see student performance somewhat in decline at times. How do we correlate the fact that the costs keep going up, but the performance seems to be declining, or is that a fair thing to say?
Mr. Chairman, that one's a really hard one for me to answer, because costs keep going up because we have increases that are beyond our ability to deal with, increases in fuel costs, increase in insurance. You have increases in personnel costs due to contract negotiations. Those are all fixed costs for the school district that they have to absorb on an annual basis. So when they have to absorb those and there isn't additional money to provide that, then they have to reduce services. That may be contributing to reduced student achievement. So I know the commissioner has addressed this committee before. We're very excited about the impacts on the mentoring program. We believe that the performance incentive bonus is also going to help us turn around student achievement, and we're looking forward to getting the results from that this year. So.
Thank you, Mr. James. Further questions or comments? Well, thank you very much. Yes, sir, we may have missed a few people, and if you'd care to come forward, identify yourself, and we'd be glad to hear from you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. I'm Carl Rose, Executive Director of the Association of Alaska School Boards. We support Senate Bill 1. It's a sharp contrast from the proposed budget submitted by the governor. I just want to talk to you briefly because we've got our fly-in coming in this weekend. You'll be hearing from a number of people who will have anecdotal examples of how we've been impacted in our schools. I would ask you all to consider and just listen to some of the things that have happened. If you consider in the last 4 to 5 years, and how funds at the local level have been redirected as a result of No Child Left Behind, some of the quality initiatives that we have, the inability for us to get the 40% promised for IDEA, special education. Those funds are taken from regular instruction. They're taken from our classrooms. What is the impact? The impact is we're focusing on reading, writing, and math, and that's a good thing. And if we're not successful there, we take additional money and we focus on remediation, reading, writing, and math. Over the last 4 to 5 years, what we're finding is we're finding a narrowing of our curriculum. The offerings that that we give to our kids are inadequate. And if you want to look at some of the reasons why you have dropouts, is the issue of relevance. Some of our kids, the younger kids, are born into a digital world. None of us here were born into a digital world. The future, we can't even explain what the future is going to be like for our kids. But we still have the responsibility of providing a quality education that gives our kids an opportunity to be successful into the future. So with all these challenges that we face, when you take a look at the way we fund our system, what we're doing from year to year is we're balancing our budgets. And it's having an effect on the overall performance of our schools. While we balance our budgets and we go home, if you look at the increases that we've had in the last 4 to 5 years, a large portion of that has gone to retirement interests. Secondary has been the classroom. Now, this is not a criticism of anyone here, but I think there's a level of awareness that we all have to have. School boards need your assistance. You need to have some of the insight that we have in terms of what are our responsibilities to the future generation. We think that kids are our highest priority, their health, their safety, their education, and their future. And I think we need to have this conversation to talk about not only what we do this year to balance our budget, but what is our responsibility to the future. If the future is digital and you visit your schools, you're going to find that there's not much of a correlation between what we offer our kids today in terms of digital learning and what will be required of them into the future. I'm gonna stop my comments right here because you're gonna hear from school board members, but we need to have a conversation about what we expect from our system. And we think Senate Bill 1 takes us in the right direction. It is a sharp contrast from what's been proposed by the administration, but I think we need to get comfortable with a number that we can fund early and get on with the business of planning how we provide an education for our kids in the future. That'll just be my comment for today. You'll be hearing a lot from our people, but I want to thank Senator Wilkins and all of you for hearing this bill today, and I look forward to that conversation. So thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Rose. Always good to hear from you. Any questions? Senator Wilkin.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And could I take 1 minute and just take a little siding here? And this is directed at Senator Huggins, Senator Wilson, and Senator Thomas. Last year, Senator Green, myself, Representative Meyer, Representative Chenault took a leap, and that had to do with digital one-on-one learning. We put $5 million into the capital budget with an implied commitment to do $5 million for the next 3 years. That teamed up with Apple through Carl's work with Washington, Apple, and this building to start one-on-one learning with Apple Computer that gave kids, sixth graders across the state in certain places that chose to participate, an actual laptop that was theirs. They could take it home and care for it, and the school district assumed responsibility for maintenance. So this year, it's not in the governor's budget. So I hope the three of you, when it comes to finance, have spent the time with Carl to understand that this four-year program, understand the benefit of it, and understand that we're on the cutting edge of getting kids to one-on-one learning, digital technology. And if he doesn't convince you, then I will have the kids from North Pole Middle convince you, and have the kids from Denali Borough convince you, and the parents that see their kids change when they get this little thing in their hand. So let's, the three of you, spend some time with Carl, if you would please, and try to understand this program and sell it to leadership and sell it to the governor. We have 3 more years of this, and then we'll wonder why we have never done it before. So that's my pitch, and thank you for letting me take a little siding there.
No, thank you, Senator Wilkin. Thank you. For the questions, yes, Senator, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Gary. Thank you, Mr. Rose. I too would agree. This may not be a question, but maybe a comment, but you might be able to respond to it in some respect. The narrowing of our curriculum in an expanding world seems like a paradox that, you know, going the wrong way. And I just wonder how you would expect or see the curriculum being viewed and being determined. We need more input from the kids. Is that what it amounts to? I think we all know that, as you made the comment, it's a very different world they're born into than we were.
Through the chair, Senator, I think what happens here is there's a great concern for workforce development. To give our, you know, if our kids are going to be viable in the future, careers and skill sets are required. To give our kids an opportunity to develop some of these skill sets and apply them, you know, we have classrooms that are equipped for vocational tech training right now, but they're not. The programs are not there because we lack funding. The industry, I was working with this Putting Alaskans Resources to Work, the PAR group. It's an industry-led coalition trying to breathe some life into this whole idea of workforce development. Schools are really stretched right now to be able to exercise some of that latitude. So that's a large conversation that we have to have. When you take a look at the relevance of the courses that we offer in school, that has a lot to do with whether kids decide to stay or not. If it were relevant for them, they'd stay. A large portion of them would. Some, you know, this dropout issue is a concern, because people look at school as a bunch of hoops that they have to jump through. And it's not very rewarding for them. And we lack the ability to provide them options. So the question that you ask, you're absolutely correct. The future is, there's a lot of opportunity out there. Schools are just not prepared to offer that opportunity to our kids. So our focus on reading, writing, and math, I think, is important, no doubt. But 21st century literacy includes a whole other set of skill sets that we need to work on to bring it to light for our kids. I don't mean to take all your time here. We're going to hear from a bunch of school board members this weekend, but we are very concerned with the narrowing of the curriculum, and it's happening as a result of having to balance our budgets.
Thank you, Carl. We have one more person that wishes to speak. Yes,
Do we have another person that want to testify?
Yeah, just...
I can wait.
You're sure? You're sure?
I can wait till they testify.
Okay, thank you.
I do have a question, Senator.
Okay, yes.
If you have time, real quick.
Senator Olson, go ahead.
You know, in my educational career, I've seen the difference between those students that have been A students and those of us that were C students and maybe even a little bit below that. But the big change is between those that either succeeded, whether they got Cs or Ds or As, and those people that dropped out. The program that Senator Wilkins talked about getting people more into the digital culture, is that to go ahead and help those C and below students become A students, or is that to help? What's it going to do for the dropout rate is my real question.
We're getting some real good feedback right now. I'm sorry, through the chair. Right here in Juneau, the Juneau School Board decided that they would put this program into their alternative school. Mm-hmm. And it's having a really positive impact. We're looking at these pilot programs to see exactly how kids respond to technology, and they've chosen to put it into their alternative schools, and we're getting some real good feedback. So I think as a learning tool, let's remember this technology, it's a learning tool. Okay? It's not a silver bullet, but it'll be required into the future. So our ability to get these tools into the hands of kids, not just the computer, the technical assistance, professional development, and actual management of learning, I think is critically important, and that's where this initiative lies. So I think there is a positive impact, and we'll be able to show that this year.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Carl. Just to point out that we do want to make sure we get everyone out of here in time to get upstairs, but we have a few more questions. Senator Davis, did you have a comment? Or you want
I had a comment to make, but you said you had another person to testify. I'd like for that to happen, but I'll say this. I'm so pleased that we were able to have this bill taken up at this time. It's an opportune time. But I also want to point out that this is a special committee. This is the first time we've had an education committee over here on the Senate side. And it's something that I've been pushing for a long time. And so this is the beginning step. And I want to thank Senator Wiggins for his work that he's done. I know that he must introduce Senate Bill 1 probably as soon as the session is over. That's probably how he gets number one. But it doesn't matter. Somebody's got to be number one. But the numbers out there, it's a good number, but it's not enough as far as I'm concerned. But we can debate it. And we got time to get other testimony. And we're on our way. And hopefully we can get this done before March 15th so that the school district will be able to know what those numbers are going to be before they have to give out their little pink slips. And I'm appreciative to be here on this committee.
Thank you, Senator.
And I look forward to working with this bill.
Thank you very much. Yes, ma'am.
Thank you very much.
Just before you speak, Senator Huggins.
Yeah, and this is for Ms. Rose. Carl, just you and I have talked about this before, but I just want to say it publicly that, I mean, we appreciate all your service, but there's a piece of this that I would like to emphasize we've talked about before, and that's the part that forms the people that does the delivery of all this information to the students, the teacher. And in my estimation, and a large number of other people think that shaping that person before they come to the campus of K-12 is important for us, and there's a metamorphosis that we need to get on with to make sure that person is not the same person we produced 20 years ago.
Thank you, Senator.
Yes. Thank you very much, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. I'll be brief. My name is Mary Francis. I'm the Executive Director of the Alaska Council of School Administrators. We definitely want to add our support to and thanks to Senator Wilkin for bringing forward this bill. I might add that most of my administrators, the superintendents in the state, are just in the beginning stages of preparing their budgets, so we will have a better idea in the next few weeks as to what this increase might mean for school districts and whether there continues to be a problem or not. But we're very supportive of the increase to the base student allocation and appreciate that.
Thank you, Mary Francis. Appreciate you being here. Appreciate your comments. Thank you all very much for taking the time to be here at 8 o'clock in the morning. Ladies and gentlemen.
Thanks, Gary.